Welcome to the Amy Rushworth Show. I'm your host, Amy. I'm so glad you're here. I'm an empowerment and sexual wellness coach, breathwork teacher, podcaster, course creator, badass bitch, and a globally recognized thought leader on empowerment. And I'm here to help you if you're ready to fuck off the rules and create a life of unashamed, unapologetic pleasure and deep, deep confidence. I have a burning passion for the taboo and naughty areas of womanhood that we're not supposed to talk about, such as sexual wellness, bold self-expression, defying social expectations, and so much more. The topics that we're typically taught to shut up about or be ashamed of are the conversations I live for, and those are the kind of juicy, soulful chats that are going down on this show. My intention is for you to step into your most outrageously free, unapologetically expressed version of you. So if that sounds like a vibe, let's fucking go. Are you ready? Hello, my loves. Welcome back to the Amy Rushworth Show. This episode is going to be so juicy. I'm so excited to share it with you. It's been a hot minute since I dropped an episode because I recently moved house. I actually moved house on the full moon and the first day of Leo season, which is my season. 2 days later, I had my birthday and there was a lot of frolicking around my birthday. I had such a good time. I did all the things. I was really embracing this hot girl summer, Leo season, birthday season energy, because up until my birthday, things had felt really serious. And I was like, holy shit, we're halfway through summer basically. And I feel like I've barely frolicked. So I got that out of my system. And now I'm back here ready to work and to serve you guys. And I'm really excited about this episode because I'm going to be diving into my 9 tips for becoming a fully empowered woman. For those of you who haven't heard my story before, or you're new to the podcast or my work, I have had a bit of a wild journey myself with this. In my early 20s, I hit mental health rock bottom. I was diagnosed with PTSD. I was having panic attacks. I was in a really low, really dark place. And it was actually from that rock bottom that I started to rebuild my life. It's what prompted me to start exploring my spirituality and my faith again, which had been missing for a very long time for me. And it's what spurred the entire journey that is my work now today, and the mission that I have and the work that I do in the world with women. And so empowerment and becoming a fully empowered woman is not only part of my expertise and my specialty when it comes to how I serve my clients and what I talk about on this show, but it's also something that's been a really intimate, really personal journey for me. And that makes me feel really excited to share my learnings, my knowledge, both from the perspective of like my skills and my expertise and the training that I have, but also just from my personal story. So my intention for you today is to walk away with so many different avenues and pathways that you can start exploring. But what I would recommend as you listen is to know that you don't have to do all of these things right away. In fact, I would recommend that you don't try and do them all at once because it might be a lot for you. It might be quite overwhelming to uproot and shift your life in such drastic ways all at once. So what I recommend that you do is listen in, tune in, listen to your heart as you're listening to this episode, and think about which one of these feels most accessible to you, which one of these tips feels really resonant, and how can you actually take the information that you learned today and put it into transformation, put it into action. So my intention for you is that you walk away from this episode with at least one tiny piece of inspiration, information, or hope that you can put into play. I really want to reiterate that information is just that, especially if you're someone who listens to lots of podcasts or you watch lots of YouTube videos, you're consuming a lot of self-help information. The key to really creating those shifts and empowerment in your actual life is to take the information and put it into transformation through action. I cannot reiterate that enough. But without further ado, let's dive in. Tip number one, stand out instead of trying to fit in. I really believe that so much of our suffering, our challenges, our conflict, whether those are internal conflicts or external conflicts, come from this conditioning of trying to fit in. If you're interested in exploring this, I would highly, highly recommend reading the books written by Brené Brown. She is an absolute superstar and expert in this area when it comes to teachings around belonging versus fitting in. And to paraphrase her work, she describes fitting in as something along the lines of trying to be something so that people will accept you, whereas belonging is being who you really are and people accepting you for that. What a liberating place to be in life, where you can just be your fully fledged, authentic, weird, quirky self and to have people love you for that. I think deep down we all really crave that, but perhaps we've learned certain ways that we quote unquote should be, or ways that we think we have to be in order to get that acceptance, love, and what we think of as belonging, but really it's like fitting in with other people. The reason I wanted to share this as the very first tip is because belonging and community is such an integral part of being human. I don't actually think it's a desire. I would say it's a human need to belong. So if we're doing all of this stuff or settling for certain dynamics in our relationships, or we're pretending to be a different version of ourselves with people so that they might accept us, we actually push that belonging away. And when we think of empowerment, being empowered is not happening in a vacuum with just you yourself. You're a human that thrives in relationships, that needs relationships and community where you belong. And so if we want to be the most empowered version of ourselves, that is part of the equation. But if we are dimming parts of our personality, turning down the volume on how extra we are or how quirky we are, or we only show certain sides of ourselves with people and we hide other parts of ourselves with people, we're not actually fully empowered because there is a concealing going on. There is a fear that you won't be accepted if you showed that full range or that full self. And that leads to us feeling disempowered, or it leads to us never really feeling like we belong or that we're worthy of being seen and loved as we are, because there's a falsehood. And sometimes this is really subtle. You know, you might notice that you do things like pretend that you're really easygoing and that you don't have needs because you don't want to come across as needy. And you've created this identity of being this cool girl or this really easygoing friend or this really cool girl to date that's quote unquote not like those other girls. And this is not a fully empowered way of being in relationship, because of course you have needs. You might be an easygoing person in general, but that doesn't mean that you don't have needs that want to be expressed. That doesn't mean that people can just do whatever they want and it's going to be okay with you. If deep down something isn't okay and you're not expressing it, then I would argue that that's not a fully empowered state of being for you. And that relationship won't feel as full and as nourishing as it could be for you. And remember that our relationships, whether we acknowledge it or not, are a huge part of our empowerment and how we get our needs met, how we feel safe, how we belong. So it's a really important part of this discussion. So the tip is stand out instead of trying to fit in. So what does that mean? I think it's about owning that you don't fit in, that you actually get to celebrate fitting out or standing out. And what that means is starting to reclaim these parts of yourself that you've shoved in the box or that you hide from other people because you're afraid that they might not love that part of you or they may not accept that version of you. And actually daring to turn the volume up on that part of you so that the right people gravitate towards you, so that the people who love you can actually love you properly and love you fully because they're getting the real version of you. They're celebrating that version of you that's standing out. Now, a little caveat here is that when you do dare to stand out, to shine brightly, to reclaim and re-empower all of these parts of yourself, there may be people that you lose along the way. And that's usually what we're most afraid of deep down. That's usually why we haven't been shining these parts of ourselves really brightly for a long time, or perhaps ever. We're afraid of that abandonment or that loss. However, what I would tell you, if you are afraid of that, is that anything that gets ruined because you're being truthful and authentic maybe wasn't fully truthful and authentic in the first place. Or perhaps that person is just not at a place in their journey and their awareness to be able to meet you where you are right now, to be able to hold you in your power and to celebrate that. A lot of times in relationship, people are afraid of the other person changing. So as you change, you may have reactions from other people. You may have people who think that you're shining too bright, or that you've drastically changed from the person that they once knew. But what I would remind you is that it's normal to change. In fact, change is the only consistent thing in life. And so you get to be surrounded by and to call people into your life who are supportive of you changing, because you changing and you stepping into your most empowered self can only be a good thing for the people that we love. And so you have to be your own advocate and have your own back in that way, because sometimes there may be people who fall off along the way, or those relationships take a new form based on how bright you're now shining and how you're changing and the new identity that you're stepping into. Tip number two, reclaim the quote unquote cringe parts of you. I think that this is so empowering, and I love watching my clients do this. Most of us have some part of ourselves that we think of as cringe, or perhaps it's a part of us that actually we really like, but we don't show that part of us because we think other people will think I'm so cringe. Now, one of the examples in my journey of this is I used to dance in my kitchen all the time, and I still dance all the time, but back when I was earlier on in my business, I was dancing in my kitchen all the time, and I was showing a lot of my life and my thoughts and my wisdom through Instagram, but I was kind of hiding that side of my expression. I was not filming myself dancing or ever showing that, because I remember thinking I would lose followers and people would just think I'm so cringe. They would just think, what a self-centered lunatic, like what a fucking Leo obsessed with herself, filming herself dancing, like what an idiot. That was my thought process, because even though I loved dancing in my kitchen and I didn't think I was that cringe, I still had that hesitation of sharing it, even though I was sharing so many things, because I thought other people will think this is cringe. So even though it was the truth of my experience that I love to dance in the kitchen, and I believe that that is a beautiful thing to do, I was hiding that because of this projected or anticipated cringe that I thought would be coming from other people watching that. And I just decided at one point, let them cringe. Fuck it. Let them cringe. And I decided to play this game with myself. I like to play a game with things when I'm feeling nervous. So if I'm like meeting a new edge or stepping out my comfort zone, I find it really helpful if you play a game or treat it like an experiment as a way to kind of take the scary edge off, if that makes sense. So I started playing this game where I thought, what if I just took the thing that was cringiest and I turned the volume up 100 times more? And how that looked for me was sharing that publicly on Instagram stories and just being like, fuck it, I'm just gonna share it. I'm gonna share it every day. And so I started doing that. And I remember that there was people who were cringing at that. There were people who reached out quite a long time after, maybe like a year or two after, who said, I unfollowed you when you did this, but now I've come back and I realized like you're actually really cool and really joyful. And I was just cringing because I didn't allow myself to express those parts of my own personality. So it was true that people did cringe at it, but I decided to fully own that thing so that it couldn't own me anymore, so that I could express myself. Now, if you think of your own life, you might have a totally different example to this. You might not be someone who's even on Instagram. Totally fine. Start to reflect on what are the things that I hide, especially the things that are really like quirky and weird about you, that if no one else was around or if no one was watching, you would be having a really delightful time doing or, you know, being in some way. And I was like, why is it that I think that this is cringe? Because what even is cringe? Right? What even is cringe? And then also start to notice when other people make you cringe, if they give you the ick or the cringe, and start to just gently question, what's that about? Like, why do I cringe at that? Is that actually cringe? Or is that person just embodying something that maybe I don't give myself full permission to embody? And just start to play with it, see what comes up. The other thing that I've learned is that often the things that we think are most cringe about us or weird or just too much or too extra are actually the quirky little things that people love about us. And we've just created this story in our mind that we're not normal or we don't see anyone else showing up or expressing in that way, so we can't. And truthfully, like if you think of the people that you love most in the world, there are things about them that are just the weirdest, funniest little things that are so weird to say, I love this specific thing that you do, or this strange, bizarre little way that you show up. But we love those things in other people. And so it begs the question, what if the things that you think are most cringe or weird about you are actually the things that people find most endearing, most lovable? So, food for thought, do what you will with that info and inspo. So the third tip is to heal your inner child. I think that you cannot be on a journey of full empowerment if you have not looked at and addressed your inner child and healed some of the inner child wounds that you have, that you're carrying. Now, that's not to say that you can't be empowered and feeling really powerful in your expression and your gifts and who you are if you still have stuff to heal. I never want to play into that narrative of like, you can only get love when you fully love yourself, or whatever it is that the cliche says, because the truth is we're all on a healing journey probably for the rest of our lives. We are all uncovering new layers of our psyche, our consciousness. There's always things to look at and address, and there's always opportunities in life for us to address those wounds in different directions and from different angles. So I don't believe that you ever get to this place where you're like fully healed and this perfect human, and that equals being fully empowered. So that's the distinction I want to make. But healing your inner child, I think, is an indispensable part of that journey, because our inner child is making up a lot of our subconscious patterns, thoughts, emotions, and those things are influencing the decisions that we make. Those things are influencing how we think about ourselves, how we interpret the situations, the relationships, the opportunities in front of us. And so you've heard that quote before, I'm sure, your thoughts create your reality, which I think is a really blanket statement. I don't fully agree with that because it lacks nuance, but there is a huge influence that your thoughts play on the reality that you experience. So for example, you could have two people sitting at a dinner table, and in one situation at one of these dinner tables, the woman is feeling very upset. She's like feeling resentful. She wants to go home because she thought in that situation that she was going to get an engagement ring that night and the check has just come and there's no ring, right? And then you might have a couple sat on the table next to that particular table, and they're having an amazing time, and the woman feels really comfortable and she feels really good. Do you notice how the data, the actual situation physically is the same thing, but the experience of each of those dinners and at each of those tables are based on the thoughts that that person is having. And those thoughts are creating the emotions, the feelings, and the perception of that exact same dinner. So Super basic, simple example, but when we heal our inner child, or when we're on that journey of addressing how our inner child feels, why our inner child reacts to certain things, how we interpret certain things through the lens of our childhood, through the lens of our attachment style, through how our parents treated us, through the identity that we took on throughout childhood and adolescence, we can start to get a more accurate lens of what's really going on for us. We can start to make decisions from our higher self versus making those decisions from a wound or from a projection that we're having. So when we learn to heal the inner child, we get to step into higher and higher levels of self-awareness, and higher levels of self-awareness are going to lead to bigger levels of empowerment for you. Because how empowering would it be to, instead of reacting from your emotions in a wounded place, to instead be able to take a deep breath, to nurture and hold that inner child inside of you, to say, I've got you, to know how to soothe that part of you, to discharge the big emotions, and then to make a decision from a true place, to make a decision from a calm and centered knowing, or from your intuition. If you are interested in going on this inner child healing journey, this is kind of my jam. So reach out to me or take a look at my different offerings. One of my favorite ways to heal and process some of the wounds of the inner child is through my favorite modality in the world, which is rebirthing breathwork. I'm sure you've heard me bang on about it loads of times. There's also a great podcast on my show with my mentor, Katia Bustani. So if you're wanting to learn more about rebirthing, I would recommend listening to that episode. But yeah, rebirthing is fantastic because it helps us get down into the deep roots of the subconscious and the early childhood imprints that many of us operate from unconsciously, and to release them. And the reason I love it and why I found it so helpful personally as a trauma survivor and someone who has tried all different kinds of therapy is that it's not a top-down approach like talk therapy or coaching. It's a bottom-up approach. It's a somatic approach, which means that you can use rebirthing breathwork to get into the deep roots of things that you don't consciously remember, but still have an impact on your behavior, how you feel about yourself, your worth, your patterns, your beliefs, etc. And it's a really gentle and trauma-informed way to let those things go over time. It's not going to happen in one session. One session will be amazing, but with consistency and devotion to rebirthing, you can create some amazing healing and empowerment and liberate your inner child. So tip number four now, empower your relationship to pleasure. I think one of the biggest steps and most taboo steps in a journey of female empowerment is reclaiming your sexual empowerment, stepping into feeling really relaxed, comfortable, and confident in your pleasure, your sexual expression, and owning the fact that you are a sensual sexual being. Sex and sensuality are a huge part of our life. They're a huge part of relationships. It's a huge part of your wellness as well. I think often that part is forgotten in the conversation about sex and self-pleasure. Sexual health is sexual wellness, and our sexual wellness influences our vitality. It influences our hormones. It influences how intimate we feel, our attachment in relationship if you're in a partnership. And it's a huge part of how we cultivate healthy body image and relationship with ourselves. So I'm always going to be a big fan, advocate, and voice of empowering your relationship to pleasure. And it teaches us so much about how we do other things in life. There's often these patterns that we can see with our relationship to pleasure that are mirrored in other relationships in our life. For example, our relationship to rushing versus slowing down, our relationship to our nervous system, and our relationship to how we give and receive love. So to me, this is an indispensable imperative part of an empowerment journey. And if you are interested in this work and exploring it, keep your eyes open because my signature program, Pleasure Empress, is reopening really soon. And this is probably like my most popular program. It's very, very deep, amazing, revolutionary. It's really cool. So keep an eye out for that. Tip number five, where are we at now? Five, embrace your contradictions. Now, this means that you got to get really honest with yourself about what parts of yourself you've deemed as more acceptable than others or more impressive than others. So have you built an identity based on being a super successful go-getting boss babe? And as a result, you feel intimidated or hesitant to show your softer side, to show your more sensitive side. Maybe it's the opposite for you. Perhaps you've always been the sensitive, sweet peacekeeper in your family. And so you struggle to actually bring forward the part of you that's more fierce, that has a voice. Or maybe you have an online persona. Perhaps you're an online brand or a business owner, and you feel like people expect to see you in a certain energy. And so when you're in a different kind of energy, or you're feeling a different kind of way or wanting to express a different side of you, you feel like you can't because you don't want to look crazy or chaotic or like you're all over the place with this personality, then this personality, this emotion, then that. And you feel confined by that brand because it has to be this way because people expect you to be that way. The truth is that humans, all humans, and especially women, are wildly contradictory in a way. And I use that word very loosely because what even is a contradiction of a person? It's not very natural for a person to only ever be go, 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 success, perfect all the time. It's not natural for someone to always be fierce and always be unshakable and unstoppable. We all have different sides of us that maybe don't totally fit together in our eyes or in society's eyes. We all have soft and fierce parts of us. And sometimes those parts are coming out and emerging at different points in the same day. I think it's so important to allow yourself to be that full spectrum and to notice what are the parts of you that you think are less acceptable or less worthy of love or being expressed, and starting to reclaim them, call them back home, and allow yourself to be the full rainbow of who you are. It'll be scary. Anything new that's not comfortable or familiar is going to be scary. It's going to be scary to show off the more sensitive side of you if you've always been the strong one. It's going to be scary to set some fierce boundaries when you've always been the easygoing peacekeeper in your friend group or your family. But all of these parts of you have a will to live and a desire to express. And to be honest, it's so boring to just be one way all the time or to pretend to be one way all the time. It's interesting to me when people have these dynamic personalities where you see all the different sides of them and they give themselves that permission to express all the sides of them. To me, that's so inspiring. And this might be your permission slip in this episode to reflect on what parts of that expression you want to turn the volume up on or to at least bring to the forefront with more compassion. Now, the next tip is to embody your values and to take ruthless action towards your desires. I decided to use that word ruthless. Maybe it should have been relentless. I don't know. That's just what came through when I was designing this episode. So it's often spoken about in most self-help circles and conversations about knowing what your values are or knowing what your why is. It's so spoken about that it's almost cliche and almost so basic bitch one-on-one spiritual self-help advice that I think people forget about how important it is. Often things are spoken about again and again, or they become cliches because they're simple and effective. So don't underestimate the power of getting really clear again and again on what your values are. Sometimes your values also change as you mature and evolve as a person or in different seasons of your life. So I think it's really good to check in frequently with yourself to know what are the core values that I have? What are the things that I stand for in this life? Now, you've probably heard that quote before that says, if you stand for nothing, you will fall for everything. And the truth is that knowing what our values are gives us direction in our life. It gives us meaning. It gives us purpose. And so once you know what it is that you stand for, you can actually use these values as kind of like a framework or a lens to make empowered decisions in the moment, especially when the decision that you want to make isn't fully clear. People want you to do something else. You feel like you're being pulled in different directions between fear, intuition, other people's opinions or expectations of you. You can come back to your values and ask, in this decision, what would my values have me do? Or what would it look like to embody my deepest values in this choice or in this next move that I'm about to make? Or you can even revert to these values when you're going through a challenge and that challenge is making you feel quite disempowered or like you're not in the driver's seat of the future or what's happening. And so instead of reacting, you can come to the core of those values and ask, okay, what would my value of this have me do? What would this value have me respond as? Let's say somebody has betrayed you. Now, that's going to be an emotional experience, and your emotions are going to want you to do certain things, like maybe close off and not trust people again, or to react from anger at that person, or to send them some kind of text. Now, you might then go back to your values, and if one of your values was courage, and maybe another one was growth, you get to ask then, okay, well, what response would allow me to grow through this situation? You might ask, what would be the courageous response in this situation? And that gives you a sense of power and autonomy over a circumstance that isn't fully in your control, but you get to take the reins in the area that you do have control in, which is leading a life that's congruent with the values, the person that you want to be. And at the end of the day, when you put your head on the pillow at night, you might not have been able to control the shit show that happened, but you get to say, I'm proud of how I showed up through that. So having that list of values is such a simple way to do this. And it's very helpful if you're in a season of absolute mind fuckery or really high emotions, because it's very hard to be logical and grounded and practical when those emotions are so big. So knowing and having a list of those values allows you to simplify it and condense it so that this doesn't become like yet another complicated thing that you have to do in a moment of big charged emotions and maybe turmoil. The next tip that I want to give you is to become your own fiercest advocate and cheerleader. Now, this kind of goes hand in hand with healing the inner child. The way that I suggest thinking about becoming your own cheerleader, becoming your own advocate or best friend, is to think of your adult self as the mother to your younger self. So you get to be the mother and the advocate to the younger part of you that goes through shit and feels hurt or feels wounded by life situations, the way that people might be treating her. You also get to be her fiercest advocate for her expression and her joy, her creativity, her dreams. It's not just being an advocate for the times where that younger part of you is hurt. It's also being an advocate or the world's biggest stage mom for this little part of you that is free, that is expressive, that is full of wonder and delight. You know, the young version of you before the world taught you not to have that much joy or to not shine that bright or to tone down your emotions. So bringing that childlike essence and that creativity and that kind of like unapologetic expression of your inner little girl, you get to be the advocate for her. So you get to stand up for that part of you. When the fear comes in and you're worried about being cringe, or you think that people are going to judge you on the internet, or you think that people in your life are going to abandon you if you change, you get to say to that part of you, I've got you. Go shine, baby. I'm going to be here with you all the way. And if people are coming with us, that's great, but I've got you no matter what. I think for me, this has probably been like one of the biggest ongoing experiences in my empowerment journey and still is to this day. I know that no matter what happens, I've got my own back. And I'm constantly challenging the fears and the limiting beliefs that come up around my own expression and who I get to be or who I should or shouldn't be. And I take that little girl's hand inside of me and I say, come on, girl, let's go. I got you. The second last tip that I want to give you is to take radical responsibility for the part that you play in your own disempowerment. It's all well and good that we say, you know, the world conditioned us to be this way. The world is an unfair place. There's a lot of fucked up systems. There's a lot of oppression. There's a lot of just like crazy ass shit in the world, right? That affects us and causes us to dim our light or to feel unsafe or to not feel empowered to fully step into our expression or our success or our power. But at the same time, we also have to be in responsibility for the part that we play in our disempowerment. So the stories that we tell ourselves when things go wrong, the way that we respond to challenges, the way that we dim ourselves down when other people judge us, we have control over ourselves, even though we don't always have control over every external factor. So something that has always really served me is not to blame myself for things, but to take responsibility for what part I play in certain situations that don't serve me, certain thought patterns, certain ways that I've reacted to challenges, and taking that all in my stride and learning from it so that I can become more powerful. And that leads me to the very last tip, which is kind of dancing with this one I just shared, to see everything as an opportunity to become even more powerful. This belief won't be resonant for everyone, but that's the beauty about beliefs, is that they're all unique, and we can also choose the beliefs and mantras that we want to play with, that we want to align with. And if this serves you, then borrow it. So I believe that I can take anything that life throws me and use that opportunity to become more powerful. Now, that doesn't mean condoning bad behavior from other people. It doesn't mean that everything happens for a reason, because I don't believe that. But I like to believe life is going to give me all sorts of experiences. Life is going to give me challenges. Life has given me traumas. Life has given me beauty. Life has given me privilege and power in some ways and not so much in other ways. Life has given me this big tapestry of experiences. I get to decide how I'm going to rise to each occasion. I get to decide how I'm going to alchemize everything that gets thrown at me. I get to decide what my type of participation is. And so because I channel this belief and I constantly revert back to it, when a challenge happens, it's not that I bypass my emotions around it. I would allow myself to feel that. But then I say, okay, how can I use whatever's inside of this experience to become even more powerful or even more wise, even more strong, even more discerning next time? And simply by having that belief, it prompts me to reflect in that way and to take action so that I can basically take anything in my stride and become the most powerful version of me and rise through everything I go through. There's often this saying in the personal development world that says life isn't happening to you, it's happening for you. And I know some people resonate with that, but I have a different version that resonates more for me. And that is that life is happening through me. And so the way that it moves through me and the way that I, let's say, shit it out is based on what I choose to do with it, how I choose to absorb that situation. So for example, if a challenge happens, I can choose to absorb that challenge and make it mean all of the negative things that I already hold deep inside or believe deep inside, that I'm not good enough, that of course something like this happens to a person like me because I'm not perfect, or whatever the dialogue is. Or I can go, okay, this has happened. What do I want to make this mean? How do I want to move through this? And what would be something that I could do to move through this where I'm going to feel really proud of myself, or I'm going to feel really at peace or really empowered because I chose to move through that challenge in that way? So just to recap, the last tip is to try and see everything as an opportunity to become even more powerful. I hope that these tips were resonant, inspiring, or just got you thinking about things in a different way. I would love to hear your feedback. Please leave a review if you love the show. We send you a gift when you do, when you send us a screenshot, because we love to appreciate you. And I'm a Leo, so I love to reciprocate in gifts. I hope you guys are having an amazing Leo season so far, or just whatever season, whenever you're listening to this. Sending you heaps of love. Check out the show notes for any links that I mentioned. And I'm wishing you the most empowered, inspiring, brilliant as fuck day. Go get 'em, tiger. Go shine. And remember, take one of the tips that you learned from today and go and put it into action. And if you do, send me a message, because I would love to cheer for you and to hear about how you're taking away the information and turning it into transformation. Sending you heaps and heaps of love. Mwah. I'll see you guys soon or in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this episode ignited you, expanded you, and enriched your heart, your mind, your life in some way. If it did, reach out on Instagram. My handle is This Is Amy Rushworth, or you can head over to my website for all my courses, retreats, and magical offerings at amyrushworth.com. If the show feels like a vibe for you, make sure you subscribe. And if you have 60 seconds to rate and review, or even to just share the show with a friend, I would be so, so, so grateful. And it helps more amazing, beautiful people like you to discover this show and to improve their lives for the better. Stay tuned for the next episode. And until then, I'm sending you strength, grace, ferocious courage, and a friendly reminder to always love yourself fiercely and to go out there and live your most unapologetic life.